Welcome to another edition of Black and a Half.
Yes, this is episode number
10.
I thought it was, oh shit.
Okay. Episode 10.
Episode 10.
This is the big one.
Yes, this would be like that Star Wars episode that you definitely need to see. Not like the prequels. Not that shitty.
This is it. We did double digits now.
Double digits now. That's right. We're on our 10th.
Yeah.
We're important now. So you should tell a friend to tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because we love you. We love our fans out there. And make sure that you are liking us on
Facebook. Yeah.
Make sure you're liking us on iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes, please go rate us on iTunes.
And if anybody gives us below a 5, I will find you. I will hunt you down.
Just any rating.
Yeah,
any rating. Yeah. People will hear about us and it'll be great.
Exactly.
Even if you dislike us, you can rate us.
And we will do things for you. Okay, maybe not. But we would appreciate it.
Yeah. So find us on iTunes, rate us, it helps us out, support us, become a true fan.
Yes.
Of Black and a Half.
So who do we have on the show today?
We have Mighty Tripod Productions.
Yes.
Which is only two people, despite the name Tripod.
There's an invisible member.
Yes. I think
it might be love.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Love.
It could
probably
be.
Love.
Yeah.
David S. Hogan, not related to Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
And Angela DeMarco, two actor extraordinaires.
Yes.
You've seen David Hogan at Seattle Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
You see Angela on the big screen.
Yes.
Multiple
IMDb credits.
Yes. So they're great. They have a school that they teach acting at in town. And I think they're the production company. They should be shooting some films. Maybe they'll put us in a feature, Manny.
Hopefully. I did not beg this time.
We could do...
But I'll be begging them on Facebook.
Black and a Half the movie.
Oh, that would be great. One man meets another man. They make out.
But he's only half a man.
But he's only half a black man. Black and a Half.
I don't know if you've gone an episode without mentioning making out with a man.
Yeah, maybe there's some hidden gay stuff.
I don't know.
I'm going to go to counsel
people
this
about
week.
This.
Yeah.
Even have that superhero bit about the Green Lantern.
Oh, that's right. I haven't done that one in a while.
Yeah.
That one, yeah. Yeah, that's gross. That's a gross joke. But I've been altering that joke since Comic-Con.
Yeah, you got it really...
trying to get it refined.
Yeah.
But now with the new Comic-Con experience...
Vulgar. Yeah, Comic-Con.
Yeah, I'm going to add to it.
We were at Comic-Con.
We
separately.
Were. Dude, yeah. So my phone dies, and I'm trying to find this dude, so I'm walking around Comic-Con for like an hour, and I couldn't find him. I was pissed.
Whatever.
I did. I went up to the fourth floor. Uh-huh. Then I went up to the... How tall was the building? It was like six.
Six.
Yeah. Three. Went up to the fourth floor, then I went up to the sixth floor, then I came back down to the first floor. And you'll hear about my escalator ride later on this.
Did you, Comic-Con was great. Would you do it again?
I would. Oh, this is my second time going. It's, it's amazing because when I first started, the first year I went, it was only like one room. But now it's like six floors of craziness and fun of seeing people dress up. Oh, before, like when I first got there, we walk in and there's this guy. You might have to censor me out a little bit, but I shit you not. He looks back at his mom. His poor mom has a cane and she's old and he's like in his 30s, but he looks back. He's like, hurry the fuck up, mom. We're going to be late for the convention.
What?
I was like, oh my God. And see, I thought he was maybe a little Asperger's-y. You know what I mean? But Crystal was like, no.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was like, I don't know, man. That was wild. So some people are diehard fans and I'm just...
Yeah. Did you notice the number of blurreds there?
Yes.
A lot of black nerds.
You know what's funny, though?
It's an uprising.
We only have so many people to dress up. Like, I saw 8 Black Nick Furies. I saw, like, 7
Blades.
Cyborgs. And 10 Blades. So, that was pretty much everything. And one guy, Luke Cage, but I don't think he was dressed like Luke Cage.
I texted you this, and I told some people, this is my goal.
Yes.
I'm going to put it on air right now.
Yeah.
I want to host a panel at Emerald City Comic Con about... I think we should do a live podcast there.
Oh, totally.
Think we should pitch that.
Let's pitch it.
And I think we should, our panel should be about blurreds.
Oh, totally.
I think it'd be great.
Yes. That would be phenomenal.
I've even talked about, I was thinking doing a Blurred the documentary.
Oh.
Like a little short documentary.
Dude.
Play it there.
We could put that on Netflix.
Yeah, or we could put it on, and premiere it at Emerald City Comic Con.
Yes.
So maybe they're listening right now and they're like, that would be great.
Do you hear that, Comic Con? We're coming for you.
Yeah. Please.
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 Please, can we, please, can we please do that?
If you don't, cool. Well, please.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our goal. That's what I want to put out there. Hopefully, they're listening. I'm going to send them a message. I want to do that.
That's right. You're going to love us for our ambition.
We
planned to do this
for a long time, and we got, you know, we're bringing,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe, what do we got, millions of listeners?
Hopefully.
Potentially.
Potentially. Yeah. Yeah, if we hit Comic-Con.
Yeah. Shit. Well, maybe we're bringing a million listeners. Maybe we're
bringing
there.
A million listeners. That's right. I mean, there was a million people hit me up yesterday. I got stats,
but they could be wrong.
Exactly. They could be skewed.
Yeah. I think they're out there, and it's spread in Black and a Half. It's growing. The phenomenon is growing.
It is.
So. There. So we're going to help it grow tonight.
Yes.
With this beautiful couple.
Yep.
They are gorgeous.
Amazing.
They are gorgeous.
I was like jealous. I was like, wow. I was like, I hope I'm that
cute.
I
told them, it's like, I meet people, the couple's that cute together.
Right.
Adorable. I'm like, I kind of hate you.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
Got enough going for
them. And they were white. You know what I mean? So they
What do they not have going for them?
What do they have not going for them?
Except being actors.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? It's just funny because they always say black doesn't crack, but damn, they were youthful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now that's depressing.
Yep. All right, back to our crappy
lives.
Gonna,
yeah, we're gonna here's the listen to them. Like them on Facebook.
Yep.
Follow them
on their website and
enjoy this episode.
Yeah, Black and a Half.
Black and a Half. Stand by.
Join us. Impressive.
So David Hogan,
yep,
Angela DeMarco.
That's true.
They are Mighty Tripod
Productions.
Productions, yes. Mighty Tripod Productions, mm-hmm. Like a powerhouse couple, acting couple in town, right?
That's what I hear.
You can't talk. You can't say it about yourselves, though.
Because then it's just
they
ego.
Both just look and weird. Smile at each other. Well,
we're kind of awesome. Hmm. Thank you.
But you, thanks, guys.
You've been. How long have you been together as a couple? Like 80 years?
Did he say 80?
81. Yeah. 81 years.
81 years.
Right.
So it's not good. That serious.
We're vampires.
No, it's not. We're trying to figure it out. Still.
Going on 12.
Nice.
Wow. When did you get married?
We got married. 2004.
Ooh,
he's the numbers man.
That is, usually it's the woman who knows the dates and stuff. And,
I know how many years. I go off the 12 years.
Okay,
that's off
go.
Our first kiss.
Okay.
And he goes off of when we were married. But there's no way I'm losing those three first years.
Right.
Right.
Come on now.
Well,
when I made him work.
Yeah.
You don't remember our first meeting then?
Us?
Yeah.
With the three of us?
The three of us.
Oh, that sounds gross.
Yeah, they don't
wow, that was an interesting night.
No? You don't remember when we all met?
Yeah, I do. There was that, we were at that kegger, and I remember the spody was really fruity.
Here's where I go. This is where Silas has made bad theater decisions his whole life.
Okay.
Got a degree in theater. I was directing a play
that
you two auditioned for. And I didn't cast them.
Ooh.
Oh.
But.
They might have forgotten about that.
But you could thank me because every couple in that show broke up.
Wow.
After the show. Like in their own relationships.
Wow.
It was everything. Everyone. No one does theater anymore.
Did we audition together?
It was called Private Eyes. Private Eyes for Mercer Island Players.
Oh no! I totally remember.
You two.
What?
I remember.
You two came in and auditioned. And here's actually
that's pre us being married.
That was when I was still doing drugs.
Yeah, we were a couple though. Yeah.
Well, because here's
Silas bringing us back.
This is what I remembered. Because I was thinking about it because I didn't know, and I was still a young director. I mean, as I've been doing it like 5 years, I think at that point or something. Maybe I'll forget what year this was. The Red Sox won the World Series that year. That's what I remember.
Mm. Somebody Google that.
Yeah. So
that's what I was going to say. I think it's got to be 02 or 03 because we were in L.A. the year before we got married. So I think we auditioned for you before we even went to L.A.
Mm. Because
so O2.
I'm just shocked that I would audition for a company called the Mercer Island Players.
Don't say, don't hate. Don't.
You're probably auditioning for everything. That's what I was guessing.
Mercer Island here's Players. He apologizes.
And here's what they're not around anymore.
Never mind.
See?
Yeah. Scratch. Now, how do you feel?
So you two came in and you showed up together at the audition.
Yep.
And all I knew was like I turned around, you guys were there, you'd signed in or something, and then you left. And I was like, where'd they go? Like, what happened? You guys went off to go read stuff, but I hadn't given you a reading yet. And I was like, where? I don't know.
We were just reading our random text that we could.
Took the stuff that was there, but I hadn't signed it. Then you guys came back. And then I was like, and I remember I asked you, because then I had already figured out I think I wanted this one guy.
Yeah.
And so then I asked you, are you a package deal? Or like, will you? Because then I was afraid. I was like, I'm afraid to cast one person without the other because they came in as a couple.
No, I remember.
I feel like there's going to be bitterness.
Yeah.
About this, and I don't know. And also, they were both too good looking, and it was like, you know what?
Trying
I already
get brownie
hate them
points
just
now.
They're like too good looking.
Yeah.
I've totally blocked this experience from my consciousness.
Silas, I do remember. You, however it was phrased, even if it was that, I remember
I said a package deal.
I remember I said something witty like
we're actors.
As long as we just keep saying package, it's going to be really funny.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know what to. And then I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, you know what? It's going to be easier for. I'll cast this person. That I like their thing, and then. I mean, I liked how the show turned out.
Yeah.
And that gig got me my Schmieder gig.
Yeah.
Theater Schmieder.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone from that.
Yeah.
But I always look back at that, and I remember going to the first Seattle Shakespeare one and seeing you there and going, well, that was a fucking mistake. These other people aren't even doing theater.
Oh.
I pass up the actual actors who showed up.
Like, and what happened? You made them all break up.
Yeah.
The play was about affairs.
I know because it's the twist off of Private Lives.
They took it a little too serious, I think.
Oh, there were some people really like hooking up?
There was one married person in there and one person who was living with somebody else. And within 6 months, both those relationships were over.
Wow.
Character study.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very... Yeah, it was like...
Maybe I was like, I got to keep this boy on a tight leash right now. We're not going to do this.
Like a dog.
Woof.
And then I thought...
Oh, that's awesome.
That's crazy. I did not place that. I knew we had met when I walked in the door and saw you, but I did not place that's what it was.
Okay. And I thought I had seen you once at Seattle... Again, in Heidi. I thought we were Facebook friends, and then I think you must have deleted me.
Oh, yeah, no, I did not delete you.
I delete him once a week.
I delete if people get a little too crazy... political, a little too ism-y, and I doubt that would be you.
No, I totally me.
I don't.
That's totally him.
I totally.
You could be, well.
I go.
I'm hoping.
I lose my freaking mind sometimes.
Yeah, we do the Democrat thing. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
But you're the D, though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the other side.
I would get, really, because I have friends, what I've discovered, in all spectrums.
Yeah.
And I tried, the last few years, I was trying to be more tolerant and
me too.
Taking more friends, and now I'm just hiding them because I can't not argue.
Yeah.
It's not making me
say no.
A particular like this with the whole Newcastle Newtown thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I have a 6-year-old daughter just turned 6, so I lost my freaking mind over that thing. So when I had somebody kept right in, got into gun rights promotion, I was like, I will not tolerate this right now.
Yeah.
Besides the election, of course, I lose a friend every election. Which I'm always like, this year I was trying to lose a couple, and they didn't go away.
Yeah.
But one did, and I was like, oh, good. I don't want to unfriend, because then I'm the immature one.
Yeah.
I didn't delete you. I'll check it out.
It might be somebody else that did.
I know.
I've gotten a couple. You know, it's
maybe
weird.
Maybe David deleted you, because he's like, oh, Silas is the guy who didn't cast us in 02.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you carry those bitter.
Do you like? Let me ask you. What like as
11 year old?
You guys, you audition for so many things. Do you hold it against anybody ever, or do you ever think like
if we don't get it, you mean?
Do you take it personal still after all these years?
You know, you try not to take it personally. I mean, I do my best to just go, okay, it just wasn't a, I try to adopt the, either it wasn't meant for me or it wasn't meant to be, or it was, it's not about my talent. It's just they, for their vision, I didn't fit in.
There's got to be somebody that you just hate that got, like, a role, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's a Wayans brother or something that just took a role, and you're just like, shit, how many of them are there? You know?
Well, I think when it's... I think it's,
go up against those guys.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, if it's like that, I think it's easier when it's... You go and you... And I see a woman who's completely opposite.
Mm-hmm.
There's physically and also her experience.
Right.
And I think that's... It lightens the blow.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But then when you go and you see another little Italian, feisty little loudmouthed cutie mm-hmm. patootie like myself, I'm like, what? What's going on?
Exactly.
And it also depends on how the casting director or directors handle it. When you go in, you get a call back, you get right. a final call back, and they're saying things like, perfect, mm-hmm. or, oh, thank you finally for doing everything I've been looking for. No
yeah.
call.
See, that, yeah, see, that would strike me because it's like, that'd be like if you had a movie that you were possibly up for, and it was like Tom Hanks, it was like Will Smith, and you're, you know, the lead female role, and
yeah.
then you find out it's up between you and another person,
mm-hmm.
and then you lose out, and you find out that it was Snooki from, like, you know, I would be, you don't know how pissed I would be. I would probably go stab Snooki in the leg or something. But
yeah, but she, you know, but she, and I, when it comes to a name, yeah, I mean, Snooki, props to her for turning, you know, her life into something.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Because it was going nowhere.
Well, no, but I mean, into something that's... I mean, she is. She's a celebrity in her
yeah,
own right.
Yeah, she's doing
to
it
now. Reality TV is crazy what yeah. people are doing with it. So when it's a name, mm-hmm. I think it's easier. But
yeah.
when it's local community and we're up against friends or strangers, I'm not going to lie. There's sometimes I hold a little... Hmm.
Yeah. Silas was pissed at me because I got a few... At one point,
they all fell
through. Though
I was just like I couldn't.
This
guy
just
gets stuff handed to him.
Not really.
So much.
Oh, hello. Have you met my husband?
He did not audition. He just like gets a call saying, "Hey, do you want to be in a movie? It pays." He's like, "Sure." I'm like, I went to school. I got a degree.
Yeah.
I came up here and hated myself for 15 years. And you're like, "Oh, I tell jokes."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, come do a movie." Like,
yeah.
What?
True.
Are you kidding me?
They both fell through, so you can't even.
Oh,
really.
So we can't see
yeah,
these movies.
Yeah, you can't
they
see these movies.
Through,
they all fall
so.
Through. So there's like footage somewhere, but it's.
I was explaining to them how fault. So many just don't
pan out.
Don't pan out.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah,
I don't even want to talk about
Ugh.
The movies in this town that don't pan out.
Mm. Now is that still true? Because we
it's,
yeah,
it's occasionally
that's
true,
and
sure.
that's not just
we had
here.
Ashley
yeah.
Cozine.
Mm-hmm.
Last
yeah,
week.
Yeah,
Ashley's
wonderful,
and she had said that the scene has changed over the last like 10 years or
I would
or 7 years as far as more. She felt like more stuff is getting done, or she's learned to not do those productions.
Mm.
No,
you
I
definitely
agree.
Have to have your. I mean, from an actor's point of view, you have to have your radar up about what am I getting myself into. As far as if you're working with a production company and a team that you have never worked with before, you have to be kind of
mm-hmm.
cautious because you might get involved with something that maybe it's going to be a good experience for you as an artist, and you might be making some connections and you might be working your craft, and but this it might not go anywhere. It
right.
might never get finished, or if it does get finished, they may never do anything as far as trying to distribute it or get it into festivals, so it is kind of a gamble. That's why it is kind of a really it's a benefit if you're working with people that you know are
mm-hmm.
are legit or on the up and up and who are really really strong in their attack with the production.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that's like a buddy of mine. He's doing mm-hmm. a new movie with Sandra Bullock. It's coming out in like April, but he was telling me about how many things just didn't pan out. You know,
mm-hmm.
before, and you know, he did make a lot of connections because he was supposed to be on Punk'd at one point with Justin Bieber. That fell through. He did another movie. That fell through. And when I asked him about, you know, what's it like to, you know, be one of the lead roles in this movie, he was like, you know what? It just kind of, it might
yeah.
still fall through. You know?
Right.
But,
and he's in L.A.?
Yeah, he's in L.A.
Yeah.
So,
right. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not just Seattle so much. I mean, obviously there's more opportunity
exactly.
in L.A., but I bet that means there's just as many projects that don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And in Seattle, I was born and raised here. And I mean, just, and the first feature I got, I was 8 years old.
Wow.
So from that... watching then the incentive go away. A lot of stuff went up to Portland. I mean, went up to Canada. Mm. And now a lot of things have gone to Portland, but I think it's good we got our incentive back.
Yeah.
I think the film community here did change about 10 years ago. A dear friend of ours, Ben Andrews, he started dipping into this community, and the indie film community has really grown. And Mighty Tripod, when we launched that, is a big reason for what you guys are saying. We want to be able to be a part of, okay, well, let's make sure this gets done.
Definitely.
And it's easy to say, well, David and Angela help, but when you put a name behind it too and a company behind it,
yeah, mm-hmm.
there's a little bit more recognition and, right. and it's a cool name.
That's exactly. why I have a comedy company now.
It's right.
the Northwest Comedy Network.
Yeah.
.com presents, because that
the worst network.
No, that has
I love it. It's the best.
People go like, oh, there's a name of something rather than Silas Presents.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until mm-hmm. until I unless I have a name
yeah.
out
yeah.
there, then you can exactly. present right. stuff. Right. Otherwise it's like, oh, they have a website. They must be funny, right?
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, we have shorts up there, so hopefully people.
Well, with technology now, anybody can make a film.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can make a movie because everything is affordable, but
mm-hmm.
that means there's a lot more shit and
right.
a lot of exactly. and a lot more people who are semi-professional or just getting their stuff together. So you might get on a project that never gets completed, and that's mm-hmm. that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think when we were in LA, that was my first taste of getting involved in something that never happened, mm-hmm. that never did anything. I got cast to be a part of this Beastie Boys cover band.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, you know, I met these two other, I auditioned and did some crazy rapping, and it was pretty, I'm going to tell you right now, it was pretty phenomenal.
Wait, is this up on YouTube anywhere? Obviously. Can we watch
oh,
this?
Oh, no, but this was 2003, so this was kind of before
okay.
the whole YouTube, everybody has a video camera on their phone thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it was really like, it really felt like an audition for people who were just sitting there listening to me do my Mike D impression.
That is awesome.
And I thought we were going to like do shows and do this Beastie Boys cover band thing, and it just never went anywhere.
Oh.
And that was my first taste of, oh, people have a lot of, people talk a lot about stuff they want to do
mm-hmm.
and get passionate, and they have exciting ideas, but it's hard to make stuff happen.
Sometimes. It's hard yeah. to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is like that project and some here even in Seattle where it's people are truly ambitious and they want to do it and they're on the right track
mm-hmm.
and they just don't have post-production costs or it just falls through or
right.
DP gets pulled or
mm-hmm.
and then there are the people who is just shady town from the start. And, you know, what David really tries to do and I try to do as well, all the pages David's put on, have you guys seen like Craft Services on Facebook that David runs? And I should let you plug your own pages, but also giving people alerts to some of that stuff out there that isn't legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll see a lot of postings on TPS that says, oh, feature film with Sandra Bullock and Tom
yeah.
Cruise. And people go, oh, wow, I'm going to sign. Really? This yeah. is probably not real.
Exactly.
And that movie is not coming through here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also still some stuff that actors need to be careful what they sign up for. Because everybody's so eager for work, and
yeah.
then you get sucked into something that.
I like you didn't say desperate. That was cool. That was cool. That was nice of you.
They're so well, are they eager.
For... Let me ask you: is it desperate? Is it eager? Or is it just a desire? Like, is it because
probably all three,
both in the comedy scene and in the film theater scene, a frustration I've seen from people is the amateur versus getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've stated in both, being in both fields, though
mm-hmm.
film I never really got to try, was it's unfortunate that we've chosen to do things that plenty of people will be willing to do for free
because mm-hmm.
they don't want to make a career out of it. But it's not their fault. It's kind of our fault for choosing this field that anybody can attempt or try
yeah.
to do.
Like, Justin Bieber.
And it sucks sometimes, but I'm not going to...
Sorry. I would just be pissed if he got a role. Well, he's white, I'm black. Never mind.
You never know, though.
You never know. Yeah, exactly. Will Smith played.
It's unfortunate, but like, it's hard to like, how can we begrudge somebody for finding an art they want to express themselves? But truly, they have six kids. They're not willing to go out on a road as a comic right now.
Yeah, and I wasn't.
Well, no, but I mean, I do hear that. There's some very, don't do, if it's not SAG, nobody should be doing it. It's like, well, what about these guys?
Well, I'll speak for myself. I wasn't saying the pages that we have or the red flags that we put up for people are saying don't do work that doesn't pay. Totally right. different.
You mean
talking about the things that are they look shady already, like mm-hmm. just the production company, what they're stating that they are. Mm-hmm. I've done work that did not pay full scale or the low budget or the new media. I've been union for so long, mm-hmm. so and I'm a proud union member, but I have plenty of friends who are not union,
right.
and I'm in no way saying you should go union.
Right.
It's everyone. And in this town, there's a lot more non-union work. So I'd be one of the first people to say, hey, if you can stay non-union for a while, you're going to probably get more experience and more work. There's a lot of student projects that I do mm-hmm. that you can still do the union contracts but not get paid. I take them because it's experience. I'm going to meet new people. And
exactly.
And some of the best stuff I've done is some of the lower budget stuff.
Is it a good idea to be union in this town, do you think?
Well, like I said, I think
a lot of the answers are it depends.
Yeah, there's less work. It depends
on the actor.
There's less work. I went union because I had to.
Were you union down in LA?
Yeah, I went union when I was 10.
Oh.
I had to. I mean, I was a must join because I got...
Are you union, David?
Yeah.
So did you become union in LA?
No, I had to join AFTRA to work Grimm, which I did in 2012.
Oh,
and then Grimm. And then the merger happened. And
we
so
can put
now
credits
I'm,
on this episode.
Now I'm SAG, yeah. Now I'm SAG AFTRA, so...
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's one of those kind of... great it was a good coincidence.
Okay. So it's worked out for you.
Well, there are fewer opportunities, but going back quickly to the working for free thing, because uh-huh. I've had this should actors work for free discussion on various mm-hmm. kind of blogs, and I think for me, I don't think that actors should work for free if it's a commercial kind of thing.
I agree.
If the producers are selling some shit and they're selling you mm-hmm. and your talents and they're making money, but they're expecting you to work for free or for some ridiculously low wage, I think that's wrong. I think that's taking advantage of actors.
Right.
But as far as working for free on like a short film or something where the producers are not standing to make any financial gain, I think
right.
that kind of stuff is... I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, I think as an actor on their career path, I think eventually the actor's going to say, I'm just not going to work for free anymore.
Right,
because
you have to.
Yeah. You have to come to a determination at some point that your talent and your time is actually, it needs to be valued.
Exactly.
Well, I think
that's a hard choice. It's a hard call to make because, again, there are very few opportunities here still in the Northwest as far as film work. And I think that actors want to, in order to feel like they are artists and they're working their craft, they want to work. And so I think we all get a little bit like, when's the next job coming? And okay, it's free. It's kind of this new media thing. All right, I know what that means. Okay, it is, but it's SAG-AFTRA. And all right, they're not paying, but I really want to work. And the part is interesting. So there's, I think actors will always justify working
yeah.
for
right.
free.
What is it about Seattle? Do we have certain like taxes that like prohibit us from like shooting certain movies, or is it like I've heard there's certain things that kind of prevent us from being a go-to city? Like
it did change when the incentive came mm-hmm. back.
Oh, okay.
It's not as sexy as it used to
People
be.
People don't understand what the incentive is
in
though.
The day.
Can you explain it easily?
My
understanding was that they would give you money back.
Oh, okay.
Of that. Once you shot it, you could collect receipts, and they would give you so much money back.
You can apply to be one of the few who will get money back.
Yeah.
So there's only so much money allocated a year to Seattle, so it's not like we got a $5 million incentive.
Right.
So still, we're not going to get as many films
mm-hmm.
as bigger cities do, but at least we got something.
You know, I was just like looking out over the city from my office, and it was like, God, we would have a great Gotham City. If we ever redo a Batman film, give it to
Batman.
Us. Exactly. Batman. Yeah, anybody listening out there. If you need a villain,
I
could play a black villain.
Seattle.
Well, maybe.
Seattle?
You don't think so?
There's no water. There's that disgusting
There's plenty of
river.
Water.
No, in Gotham.
Oh. Well, I mean, you could make it that way. It's like Gotham doesn't have to have. I mean, it's got all
Turn
the.
It into tar.
Yeah, we've got gargoyles and all
you
that
know what?
Kind
I'm going to. Drop you in Comic-Con and have you say that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You can do anything
did you guys
in
go
Gotham.
To, did you guys go to Comic-Con?
No,
you know,
we were teaching.
I knew this was going to come up. The whole,
yeah.
I mean, the whole,
we were
I mean,
teaching,
I know you,
though. We were
the
teaching.
The nerd thing is sexy. So mm-hmm. I did a little bit of research on you.
Oh, okay.
He's got, not only are they comedians.
He's a nerd.
But they're nerds. So I'm going to be under pressure to be nerdy and funny.
Yes.
Both of which.
No,
no pressure.
I'm not sure I can do very well. But no, Comic-Con is... I don't know. I didn't.
It's an experience.
It looked
is.
Like it was probably kind of fun, but I've never.
You know, it's great to, I just love the visuals of mm-hmm. walking through and seeing oh, yeah. everybody. Like, yeah. wow, they are
dressed
like,
up.
They're crazy.
I couldn't do awesome. The dress up. I just go just to like see all the craziness. Like,
I want to dress up.
I love it.
Man, I had like a crazy like moment in my head. This is how racist I am, right? I was going down an escalator. Somebody snickers behind me and they're like, nice Django outfit. And I was like, motherfucker. And I turned around and it was a little kid in a Django Fett Star Wars outfit. I was like, I was way off. I was like, holy shit, I almost punched somebody over nothing.
It's like it was, some old lady.
Yeah, some old lady. I was like, bitch. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. So, yeah, I was like, oh.
I had to save that for Comedy Trek.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it really happened though. I was like, wow. That's how my brain added that shit up.
I love it. I mean, yeah. too, visually, I think. I was in rehearsal at ACT, you yeah. know, in the convention center and, it was either last year or year before, but it was just great going to lunch and walking mm-hmm. through. And I totally stood out because I'm in plain clothes. Looking like I look here. Like a dork. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, weaving through the gargoyles and the vampires and the wolves. And I'm kind of a gamer dork.
Yes.
So I'll take it back. But nice. I'm old school. Like my sister got me into D&D when I was, the old school. Yeah. When it was D&D.
Yeah.
And everybody calls it something else now.
Hey, maybe. Okay.
But, uh-oh.
I just, hopefully, if you this, whip out if some he ever dice? Gets his act together. I have a sketch that I just started writing yesterday, but it involves D&D.
Uh-oh.
I need a bunch of white people
yeah.
that are into D&D to help me. Make sure I got it.
He's pointing at me. I am Apparently. White.
I don't want right. to. I don't want to give the bit away on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Don't do that. We'll, afterwards, we will talk.
Yeah.
About it.
Secrets. But I did want to say real quick, back on what David was saying. It's not just here when we were talking about should you work for free or not. And scale by no means is free. Scale meaning the minimum, you know, mm-hmm. with a union contract. But even George Clooney. What's up, George? Because I'm sure he's listening.
Oh yeah.
Said when there's a project he really, really wants to do, mm-hmm. he works for scale. Now, mm-hmm. for George Clooney, that's free. Right. Working for scale, yeah, working for much. $680 a day or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. So there are still even actors who have made it that yeah. are doing things because they want to versus us on a very different level here in Seattle. Say, hey, I am going to do this student project. I love the person who's directing. The script is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm only getting deferred, which means I'll probably never get anything. But this is a passion, like you said. Do you do it because we're eager, because we're passionate about it, or we're just desperate?
But that also brings up a good point, though, because it's like, what if you meet the next Christopher Nolan doing an independent project, and then you're
exactly.
with him? You know, it seems like he recasts a lot of the same people.
So, well, like Silas was giving you shit. Mm-hmm. I know David, and even now myself, we've done projects that were lower student films, and we met people that someone on crew mm-hmm. we had no idea is actually really a DP or right. really a director or really a writer. And then we get a part later, get yeah. a little call or an email. Hey, we worked on da-da-da. Mm-hmm. I would love you to do this summer. Oh.
That's a good awesome. Segue for the actors that are listening. Don't be a douchebag on yes. set.
Yeah.
So even if the director you're working with good. Is, maybe it's not the greatest director in the
this
world.
This is a good segue for everybody.
Christian Bale.
Quit being a douchebag.
No. Exactly.
Because you never.
No more D-bags.
Well, yeah. You know, I always used to tell people, I tell students that I taught over at a high school, I was like, you're always auditioning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Silas, in say everything, it again. Say
but
it again.
In everything.
Yep.
You're auditioning when you're at a bar going in to get something. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because that's the biggest, as a director, it always turned me off. Like, right away, I was like, I don't want to freaking work with them. And now as a stand-up comic, like, booking shows, I'm like, there's so many comics, I don't need to put up with anything. Like, you'd have to draw so many people.
Because it's how they are backstage, too.
And even if you
too.
Did draw people, mm-hmm. like, why would I put up with it? Like,
yeah.
My life's too short. I don't want to
spend
it.
Thank you. No, that too. It is. Life is too short to, it's about making relationships, not like, oh, let me just make this relationship for now.
Exactly.
And then bye.
Yeah. I book people all the time now that I've barely seen, but I'm like, they're so nice. Let me give them a
I think his inner childhood
shot.
Comes out, though. Like, sometimes, like, he will, like, you know, somebody, he'll be like, you know what? We should just get revenge on this motherfucker.
Oh, and yeah. Oh, no, like, I'm all like, about revenge.
Yeah, and I'm like, Silas, maybe not. We don't need to burn any.
No.
That's the Shakespeare in him.
Yeah.
No, I like revenge.
You should not burn bridges. You should blow them up with a nuclear arsenal.
Silas killed
Why
a guy.
Why in between? Why in between?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't.
Be
I have
mighty.
A hard time.
That's what I say.
I have a hard time forgetting things, yeah. like forgiving.
Like, I can forgive, but I do not forget.
That's definitely, you know, what is it? The shame on, you know, the fool me once, shame on what? You.
This is a segment we call Manny Tries to Quote.
Manny tries to quote something, but he doesn't remember the quotes. That's what we usually. So I usually end up making my own quotes. So fuck them.
My quote is best.
Yeah, exactly. But I do really. You know, that's an amazing thing that you guys have up, you know, to prevent people from getting, you know, taken advantage of in the industry. You know what I mean? Like, Silas ended up on the casting couch a few times, so that's probably not safe. Yeah.
Exactly.
How was that?
Yeah. That was great.
Is that great. When everybody broke up in that show? You're like, it's time for notes.
Exactly. But how long have you guys, like, what was your first, when did you first know you wanted to be an actor or an actress? You know?
Are you going to start?
You want me to start?
No, I'll start.
Okay.
I think... What was I listening to? I was thinking about my first performance ever. It was probably like when I was a kid at some camp.
Right.
Doing something on stage. And I think my folks were even there. Mm-hmm. And I remember this old photograph I have of like my mom and my dad. And we had like family friends and a young girl about my age, one of my peers. And my dad was dressed up like Prince. My dad is a white man, like,
that is
very
awesome.
White, and I got to get you this picture because it's just ridiculous. My dad was like Prince, and we were like in the band, so there had to be some kind of performance around that. It wasn't Halloween, so there was something there. I don't know. I can't remember what it was.
Good.
It was a long time ago.
Can we get that photo and like put it up when we do the like the promo for the podcast?
I will definitely try to find it.
Oh,
I'll talk
awesome.
To my mom. She has all the old photos. But I didn't really get into it until in college when I started singing with the Seattle U Choir, mm-hmm. and I went from the choir into doing theater. I remember the first play I did was the Three Penny Opera, and I remember the rehearsal or the audition room door. They were doing auditions, and I was going to go audition. And I went up to the door, and I remember opening the door, and there was all these people in there. And they were singing and acting, and it was full, full of people. And I looked in, and I felt like such an outsider, and I said, shit, I can't fucking do it. And I left, and then I went and I talked to the director slash teacher, Kai Gottberg, and I was like, I really wanted to audition, but I was so scared. Mm-hmm. And she let me audition, and I got called back.
Wow.
And I got in the play playing the street singer, so I got to sing Mac the Knife, and it was just...
Oh, that's awesome.
Just the most incredible experience, I think, for me at that time, because it was pretty much my first time on a stage acting. I'd been on the stage with the choir singing for all kinds of events, but that was my first taste, and then...
That is awesome.
Kind of set off after that.
So your first...
Why...
When did you first decide to... Acting. Was it when you were 10 and you were like, I want to be a pony or
no,
an actor?
No, I didn't. I was very...
extroverted?
Stop it. I didn't comment on yours. No, my mom was a single mom. It was me and my sister, and we were born and raised in White Center. You know, we were poor growing up, and you kind of have to keep yourself entertained. Mm-hmm. And so I usually did by doing impersonations. Always men, which I don't know why, but I was Pee Wee Herman, Robin Leach, or Hulk Hogan. And I pretty much put together a show where I played all three of those characters, and I put together the community, our neighborhood, and put on a little show on the block outside. And my sister like sold lemonade. This is my older sister. And she was all about making money.
You
so she's
concessions.
Yeah,
wow,
she was because awesome. My sister's like, we gotta charge. I never saw any of that money. Love you, Jenny.
Even then the actors was getting screwed over.
Yeah, right. I know.
Did you get at least some lemonade for free?
I'm sure I did. But
can you
and
call
it kinda
me a drink?
It did. It started there, and it was my sister and I also did the great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, and then nice. I did a whole show for the neighborhood to Arrhythmics, lip syncing to Arrhythmics,
nice.
Being Annie. Miss Annie Lennox. And then, long story short, my mom's friend, her daughter was with an agency. She had her agent come to one of the shows and basically talk to my mom. I was like 8 or 9 at that point. I was 8. And said, we'd like to sign your daughter. And I had me audition for this feature film that had Shirley MacLaine and Terry Garr in it. And I got cast. So it was something. My mom is not a stage mom. My mom in no way was.
So were you in this movie?
I was in it.
What movie?
I was in it, Waiting for the Light. first feature film I ever did. By the time it came out, I was about 10. So when I shot it, I was 9. And really small, 2 scenes. One of the scenes got cut. So already at a young age, I'm watching it, learning, oh, you know, editing floor. Oh. But it was awesome. And it ended up like 2 little lines sitting in the back of a truck. I remember that my costume, I got to put Keds on, which, you know what those shoes are with the little blue label? Well, back in the day, that was huge. Like, uh-huh. I was rich.
Yeah.
So for me, Mrs. Pro Ring, you know, Pro Wings, Kmart Kickers, I remember, wow, I could get used to this. I get to wear fancy clothes, and I had a trailer with my name and star on it. But I was still really humble because my mom still made us, taught us what it is to earn and what it is to work for the money you make or to mm-hmm. gain appreciation for people without getting things for free. Yeah. So I was fortunate to go to a alternative school of the arts. So I was able to continue auditioning and have tutors as I, you know, through K through 12, basically. And went to college, did the BFA thing, did the LA thing, shot a couple more things, but then got sucked into the world of theater. And as you guys imagine, I'm pretty loud and pretty gestury in Italian. And there's just something about theater that I felt more free, yeah. and I was able to come to life and fill that space. And I've never turned back. I've just never doubted it. I've never thought of anything else. And
so why then not New York?
For theater, I think what I loved about Seattle, because I've been to LA now twice. I've gone to New York. I've never lived there. But I like feeling a little bit like a bigger fish in a smaller pond mm-hmm. versus a tadpole in a humongous ocean, which I feel like New York and LA both sometimes make an actor feel that way. I'm not saying...
But just knowing with the lack of paid work, how, like, why, if this is your career choice, why
yeah.
would you choose a place without?
Because I pay my industry. Bills. I haven't yeah. been struggling thus far that I actually okay. have to get a 9-to-5 business job. We have another company, mind you, a dog walking and dog training company.
Nice.
That we have 5 employees, that it's another passion that I love, that getting to work with animals. But when we get a gig, we can take that time off and have both those businesses still keep, you know, our livelihood going.
Are you a reality show?
No, we no. could be, though.
Are you not a reality
But I hear
show?
What you're saying. I think there... I'm not a spring chicken anymore. So I think that opportunity in New York...
You're not exactly an old hen, either.
Oh, thank you.
Hitting on his wife right in front of him, you asshole. This is why the other couples
yeah,
broke
no,
up,
Yeah, no, but
Silas.
I do think... You're right. You're right, Silas. I did think about it. And you know what? I chose L.A. I look back now after... college that I could have done New York or LA, and I went LA because I did a contest at the time called IMTA, which is the International Modeling and Talent Association. Like Jessica Biel was found. She did Seventh Heaven from mm-hmm. that. And I won Best Comedic Performance, and I thought, ooh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. I'm in now.
Well, that didn't pan out how I thought. So I'm not opposed to us ever moving to one of those cities again, but I like it here. I like the name we've made for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I like what Mighty Tripod is bringing, just the Seattle community. And just from that big long story I told you guys about being a kid, one thing I missed was I really didn't have teachers or coaches that I could look up to.
Mm-hmm.
I had a teacher, Moselle Pennington, who basically I owe her everything. Taught me how to read. I was really behind in my reading. And here I am being an actor, you know, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And she's not a theater teacher. She was, you know, my English teacher for 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. But there's stuff that I wish there was more coaches in the theater and film industry than when I was young. So we just now with Mighty Tripod started a youth class that I'm teaching. And I'm telling you, Silas, I would stay in this town if I could just keep working with those kids. And I know that sounds, I'm going to get all emotional. That might sound kind of corny.
No.
But that first class I just taught this last Sunday made me go, okay, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm home. And please, I still want to shoot some features.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But just giving back, it's huge. I mean, just the feedback we got made me go, okay. good. You don't need to have your sister slang lemonade in the street for you to, you know, get your credits going. But
I just got a note from a former student that I taught about 4 years ago.
Ugh.
I directed her in a play, called Cover of Life. We did it at the high school. And I just got this long note because she just performed in the Vagina Monologues.
Oh, was my the first, gosh.
It's the first play she's done since she had left high school. She kind of went on to do other stuff because she knew she didn't want to pursue it.
Yeah.
And the note I got was just, she talked about everything that she used that I taught her and all this stuff. And Felton was like, oh my God, okay, that was worth it. Because I don't know, I kind of feel like in some ways I went through a divorce with theater.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it was rough because I get mad sometimes that I went through the whole program, and then, I mean, moved here at a compromise, so, and then I'm like, I'm in this town now that I couldn't even make money in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, sometimes I felt like I got conned, like, because I was going to go to L.A., I just went to this one school first, I was on my way to go to L.A., and then I found theater. I wanted to go down and be a film editor, that was my original idea. And then I discovered theater, I'm like, this is great, and I'm like, how come even in my career counseling class, nobody pointed out, oh, by the way, you're never going to make money in this. You actually need to go get a film credit, and then you can make money in this. Then you can get hired. Like, nobody pointed that part out. Just like, oh, yeah, there's ways to work, you know, do this. But there's never this hard fact, which maybe they shouldn't because it's their program. But
I disagree. I agree with you, Silas. Oh. I wish my school – I mean, I disagree that maybe they shouldn't. I agree with you that they should have. I wish my school had said – more of the stuff that I think you and I have learned, all four of us probably, by actually going out and doing it. Like, oh, why didn't they warn me? Why didn't they say this?
Like, everyone wants to be a stand-up comic that we know. Yeah. And the truth is, ultimately, if you want to have any quality of life, you cannot make it unless, there's going to be the 2-3 exceptions, the 2%. You cannot make it unless you get a TV credit. Of any sort. It doesn't even matter what it's on. But if you have a TV credit, you can headline.
Yeah, there's
The only way to make a living.
Do you know who Theo Von is?
No.
He was on Real World. And
that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Wow. Ultimately, he can put MTV on his credit.
Exactly.
He can go headline somewhere.
Yeah, and apparently he's just kind of blown up in the comedy scene now that he has that, you know, he's had the Real World credit, and now he's, you know, using that to kind of launch off.
And like we're saying, that's reality TV show, too. Right. So it's not even,
it's crazy. We were thinking about Amazing Race just to get out of our shit.
God, do it!
Black and a Half, Amazing Race.
Do it!
Really, it is like, that's what I feel like. It's almost.
You guys ever thought about doing that?
I just pitched it.
Totally.
Like, literally 3 days ago, we were in the man cave.
Well, it's great. You have.
And
opposite,
I said to him, I was like, baby, we got to do this. And he's like, I don't know. Because he knows
I don't even know what it is.
It's, well, I've told you. It's like when the couples.
Like, you got a race
around the world.
Around the country.
Yeah.
Around the world.
It's all over. There's like obstacles.
And stuff. And then there'll be things to make you upset.
Lots of communicating of, what does this note mean? But he's right. I get hypoglycemic and really bitchy. So
they will want you then.
They
will want you.
Yeah. Two actors? What? And they hate each other?
He'll just be putting like protein bars in my mouth.
It's funny. I know that those things that they try sometimes to veer away from actors because they don't want the people just looking for the camera.
Yeah.
But that they've learned from past people doing that. So you kind of have to, like, you'd have to go in going, we're dog walkers. We have a dog walking business.
Yeah.
This is what we are. I mean, they'll find out that you did this other thing, but they're like, that's what you'd have to push. So that way, then it turns out, they were.
Right.
Wait, what was that?
Well, and I would really want to do it for us. Oh, I didn't really even want to do it acting career wise. I thought it'd just be great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've probably talked about split a couple up. I bet there's some couples.
Yeah.
Like when they'd had the, there was that newlywed. Anyway, we don't need to talk about it. But there was a newlywed couple that I was like, oh, God, if they make it through this.
Oh, man. Lord.
You bring up a really interesting point, though, about the business of being in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one thing that we emphasize with our company and some of our teaching is that we do definitely try to, with the people we work with, we want to talk to them about how to be successful business people. But we also know that making a lot of money in the arts in this town is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've always heard from other artists, actors, that old saying, you know, if you can do anything else, do it, right? And it's kind of a hard truth. And having a survival job, is really important, I think, for anybody, especially actors. And I think that was one of the things when I found my other job, which is having this dog services business. When I first started it, it was kind of a survival job. But then it has morphed into a second career, which has made it extraordinarily hard to manage both things. So I think if I was advising an actor, you know, you need to have something to make a steady stream of income. But if you really want to be an actor, that second job, that survival job, should not be where your passion and your heart is. It's just that thing to make you some cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm finding myself kind of pulled in both directions and having to go, well, how do I put my time into both places? And am I selling myself short on the actor end because I can't give it 100% because of this other business?
You know, one thing that I learned growing a business that I got attached to, I should have sold it before it went down. And one thing I've learned from entrepreneurs don't get attached to their business.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. They get an idea. They build it up. And then they sell it. And then they get another one. Because ideas they can always come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Their job is to grow. Like, I'm with a company right now, my day job. They're very clear with every employee there. The whole purpose that they have the company is to build it up to a level that it's making money so they can sell it to somebody else, to a bigger place that will then want it and run it. Like, and that's what they do. They've done that before, and that's what they would do after. They partner, they get an idea for a business, they build it up, and then they sell it. And that's what I would, and that's what I'm currently trying to do with other things, is I need to be able to not be attached to it. I can still love it, and I think you can like what you're doing, but then just know that this doesn't have to be your life, because then you don't pursue the things that you really want to do. But if it enables you to get the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a business.
What, Silas, have you ever thought of the dog business? We have this company that maybe you would.
He just buys it.
I create things. Here's a question for you about the business of it, because it's something I've been reading the last, like, 3 weeks since I decided I started buying cameras and equipment to start making shorts and whatnot. I've been taking, like, a online filmmaking class, basically through podcasts and Frugal Filmmaker, different sites, reading everything about it. And the thing that I keep hearing people talk about is with, like, shorts. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, well, there's no money in shorts. You can't do any money. You can't make any money on it. So, you know, it's up rare occasions. And they're always passion projects. And what I was wondering about was, is there an acceptance within the community, do you think, of, oh, that's just the way it is, and nobody tries to change anything? Because my first thought was, why isn't there, like, a collection of Northwest short films on a DVD that somebody is selling? Like, if I had 6 short films that I produced, I'm going to F and put them on a DVD and try to sell them.
Yeah.
Because what I've learned, like, because that's, you've already put the work in, it's just like a book.
I do know some people who are actually trying to go that route, and they have pitched a few shorts to us, but they pitched it with a way different outlook. Like you're saying, hey, we want to actually make money with this. We want to do festivals. We're not doing this to make a feature. We're doing it because we're making a good short. And I'm going to let David take over here, because David actually is one of the auditors for a short film festival that happens here in Seattle. And I want him to tell you about what happened with one of them this year that I think is proof in the pudding that they can do more than just be a little short and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm one of the judges on Seattle Shorts Fest, and the prize, the jury prize, the top film that we awarded this year won an Academy Award.
Wow. Oh.
That doesn't necessarily mean that film's ever going to make money, but I think I have heard some people talking about selling short form films, whether it's web series or short films, on for airline programming.
Oh,
I don't know
exactly
where that's going, but I think for the most part, people who are in the business of being filmmakers seem to use the short film as a way of getting their feet wet, because most people are not going to invest any money into a first-time filmmaker who wants to make their feature.
Right, right.
So, we're a fledgling company as far as producing films, but I can't imagine that. I mean, I would never decide I'm going to produce a feature if I had never produced a short film. I mean, right. There's so much producing anything, making a film, finishing a film is hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, there are projects that we've started and we've seen friends start and they never get completed because it's not that easy. It's not that easy because it's, I mean, you can get all the stuff in the can.
The shooting is the easy part. Anymore,
but then you go back and you see it and you're like, what the fuck happened with the sound?
Yeah.
And then you got to go back and you got to fix all the sound and then you got to figure out how to get in, you know, you got to score it and all this stuff that...
And
it
actors,
may never get done, or you may have to reshoot some
or
stuff.
Actors
and then
get busy.
If you're hiring actors for free, and you're working with people who have schedules and lives, and they're like, well, we got to reshoot this part. And they're like, well, I'm in Madagascar now. I'm sorry.
And I have blonde hair now.
Right, right.
So it's tough. But I definitely think that short films, people who do make short films are just, it's great experience. And, you know, there's the festival circuit, and it's a great way to start getting your name out there, just like an actor. It's like, mm-hmm. we got to build our resume credits and people go, oh, that is a working actor. That's someone who is starting to generate their own fan base. And they are going to, and I think that with social media and all of that, because actors are more visible now and are able to generate their own kind of buzz, it may be that the amount of credits that you have and your star meter might affect how you're cast.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you out there? How much information are you putting out about yourself and your projects, and how much buzz are you creating? And that might help get you cast.
Oh, yeah. You go on IMDb. I mean, half the people who go on, I'm like, oh my God, look at all these credits. I look, it says short.
Yeah.
Not that that's bad. Right. I think that's great because mm-hmm. it just got them 35 credits.
Exactly.
They got that experience. And like David's saying, some of these do go to SIFF or win an Oscar. So you can aim high with them. I just don't think many people do.
But I don't even think they think about. I feel like they think they make a film. If it's not going to go make them $1 million, then it's not like, oh, it's just a passion project. Like there's a comic guy who started this theory, which makes sense for independent artists, that the idea is that you need 1,000 fans. You need 1,000 true fans,
mm-hmm.
and you can make a living as an artist because a true fan will buy your merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
They will buy tickets to see you. Basically, they will spend about $100 a year on you because mm-hmm. they're a true fan. 1,000 times 100. And there's $100,000 before your, you know, expenses and stuff. And that's, you can make a decent living. You
yeah.
know, like, take half of it away, $50,000 a year. That's a nice, comfortable living. That's just building 1,000 fans. And one thing it may be a misconception, but what I've been reading in the film thing is, I feel like people build, they're creating these films and they want to get it distributed, but they don't seem to be worrying about making people fans of their work.
Hmm.
Sometimes actors do. They're like, come see my play. I don't think actors think about it like, hey, this person always comes and sees my play. They don't think of them as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's plenty of friends you have that mm-hmm. don't come to your shows.
Mm-hmm.
But you forget about the friend that is also a fan, and they spend a lot of money. Someone comes and sees my comedy,
mm-hmm.
I feel bad sometimes because they're spending $50-$60 that night because
right.
they paid for the show, they paid for parking, they're
drinks,
buying drinks food. And things. I mean, they spend a lot of money on me.
Do you feel
me.
Bad because it's not funny?
No.
Exactly. 90% of the time.
I feel bad because I'm not a professional. You know, like, I'm like, because no, you're my friend and
yeah.
you're spending a lot on what they may even think of as my hobby.
Mm.
Their my hobby costs them a lot of money, but
yeah.
ultimately
I think some
they're
people
a fan.
Think that way though, Silas. I do
what?
Think there's people out there that know, like, I've got fans. I'm going to support my fans. I'm going
right.
to nurture. I think some artists, all of us, you know, have days when we forget and might take some things for granted. So
if I'm a fan of your work though, if there's a movie up that's like, if I see a for $4 a short, I'd buy it.
Now my Facebook page has become more, I don't have a fan page on Facebook. I have my own personal one that now has turned into both. It's
right.
kind of morphed into both. Fine with that. Now I kind of edit some of the stuff that I'm
yeah.
putting out. but I do have some people I have never met who have seen my work, both theater and film, and have continued going. And same thing.
Right.
Spending, you know, the next show I'm doing is going to be, tickets are going to be pretty expensive, at Seattle Rep, Boeing, bing. but super excited. I have all these people I've never met that are like, oh, I already bought my tickets. Now, they could be lying,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think so.
Right.
I And but I imagine, try to acknowledge that, but you're right. Now so my goal is going to get 1,000 of
let's
those.
Let's say you direct a film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you say you own it. And yeah. You produce it and direct it.
Yeah.
And you can put it up for $5 somewhere. Mm-hmm. You don't have to think. Yeah, so you need to think about it like, how many people do you eventually need to download this to right. make it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Just putting it, people aren't even offering them. They're just like, oh, I filmed it, I put it up, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Dr. Horrible, right?
Right.
You know Dr. Horrible?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Yeah, who is that?
Oh, no, we're going to have to fix that.
Yeah.
Well, your boy Horrible. Just said who's yeah, that, yeah, exactly, so yeah. We'll talk. We'll talk. Silas and I can
have
talk.
It. I own it. It was Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, Joss Whedon production. Mm. He wrote it during the writer's strike because they couldn't work on anything and he couldn't write anything. So he said, you know what, I'll produce it myself. So he wrote it. It's a musical. It's a 45-minute musical that they put online. It was released in 2 15-minute sections. And granted, he already had a fandom, you know, so right. he already had fans. So he put it out for free. They crashed the servers mm-hmm. when it went out on the second one was released. It just mm. crashed. So they had to redo it. They ended up putting it on DVD to sell. And then people bought it on DVD. And just last year, they did this like 5 years ago now mm-hmm. right, or more. It just ended up on network TV wow. because it's got such a little cult following.
Yeah.
So then they showed it on TV. Like Louis C.K., you know, with his
absolutely.
Releasing. Love Louis.
Everyone just releasing their own and yeah. then going, oh, well, even though you think everybody saw it, nobody really saw it. You know, NBC, you haven't even heard of this show that every person at Comic-Con guarantee knows what Dr. Right. Horrible's saying
right.
on a blog is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So 60,000 people there, but you didn't know about it. And you're even in the industry.
I'm out of touch.
Right. But, I mean, there's so many people, too. There's 300 million yeah. potential fans.
Absolutely.
Right. So
I do think some people do think that way, though, Seth. I agree with you. I don't think enough do. But, I mean, even taking it out of film, there's, and like you said, Louis, so taking it to stand-up, that David was just talking to a friend who had never heard of Louis. I'm so sorry, Louis. but David said, you know, that he does everything himself, same as Macklemore, which I hope you guys yeah. have heard of Macklemore, mm-hmm. that he turned down a pretty major record deal and decided, hey, I'm going to do this on my own. Wow. And I think he's doing pretty good. So you're right. It is about the fans and believing in yourself and believing. And that's whether it's your short film, whether it's yourself personally as the product. But I do think you're right. Sometimes the actors are pushing the films more than the creators themselves. They're like, whew, got it done. And here we are, the actors saying, oh, let's do something with it. Let's.
Do you know Felicia Day? Do you know Felicia Day?
No.
The
personally?
Guild? The Guild?
I've heard of
this. Oh, yeah,
Dr.
Yeah.
The Guild.
Yep.
So the Guild, I saw her at Comic-Con, mm-hmm. and she was one of the only ones I wanted to go see speak.
Mm-hmm.
For me, she's been an inspiration as far as a webpreneur, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she took her life as a... She's like, I'm never going to get a lead role. I'm just going to be a secretary. I want to do something else. So sure. she shot this thing. I didn't even realize how short the episodes are mm-hmm. for seasons, these two-minute things.
Yeah.
And then to pass up pilots because she wants to pursue the web. And mm-hmm. to go, no, I'm going to end so now working with M or EA Games, I think it mm-hmm. is, to create original content. And listening to her and Will Whedon talk just about, it's about creating content.
Right.
And putting
totally.
It out there. And
I would agree with that, absolutely.
I think these con people are exactly proof of you just need fans.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah.
$75 for an autograph.
Oh, I believe it.
Ugh. Is that William Shatner?
That was like every one of them, like all these big people. Felicia Day was like $30, but how much is she going to sign off or get a picture with somebody?
Yeah.
Granted, I can't do it because I'm still sort of an actor. So I can't pay for an autograph or a picture. Sure. Like I feel like you.
Like if you guys were like huge, would you guys charge? Like if you were at a.
Once they saw the movie.
You know what I do think? Honestly, a lot of that ends up being the managers and the agents. I'm assuming that say there's things. I don't know. I mean, no. Who knows? I'm not at that level.
Well, I think.
So right now I would say, no, of course I would do autographs for free. Mm-hmm. And then. It's almost like living. They say this of artists. We have a friend who's a visual artist, a painter, and he got into a really big gallery, and mm-hmm. they said, you've got to raise your prices. Mm. You're too cheap. He did, and now he can no longer lower them again.
Oh.
Because that would be, You know, if he lowered them all of a sudden, then Manny says, well, I just spent $2,000 on your sky break. Why is Schmo below getting it now for $2.50?
Right.
So I think there is a level that I think
if I was with them, I ran into them, they'd take a picture
That's
with
what I was going to say.
But they're at a convention.
You're there.
They're there to basically make money and rehash the same freaking stories they've had to tell for 15 years.
You know, it's interesting for me, though, because it's like, you know, after every comedy show, we usually do a meet and greet.
Oh, yeah.
And, there's, I won't say the guy's name, but we'll just say he's the brother of a actor.
Rhymes with plans?
No.
I mean, I'm
making it up.
You know what? Screw it. You know, I don't think he's ever going to listen to this, but, Gary Valentine, Kevin James' brother, right? Kind of a standoffish guy with a lot of his fans, you know? Like, a lot of people just want to come up, take a picture with him after the show.
Yeah.
And, he's like, no, you have to buy a picture and then I'll take a picture with you. And it's just like, wow, you know? It's like,
that's a way to lose 1,000 fans.
That's what I was going to say. I think there's definitely a time and place if you've got tons of people. And like you said, you're at the con. But I think, personally, like if Dave and I were doing a little solo show, you know, a little intimate, a little black box somewhere, we wouldn't just sit there and go to our 50 people buy our headshot when they just paid $20, $30 to see you.
Exactly.
But you know what? If you were a singer and you had your CD there.
Oh, sure.
Like, I mean, but if you.
But you
even
would
if,
sign it for free.
Even if you were acting. No, I'm saying even if you were acting, if singing was the second thing you did.
Yeah.
I don't think people pull in enough. Comics are good at merchandising. That's one thing that they learn to do. It's like, hey, I got this other thing. If you want to go pick this up, people will buy this other thing.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand selling a CD, but I mean, like a picture of yourself right
when
in
they
front of
were
them?
There and just saw your show.
I just saw you. Yeah. I mean.
What an exclusive. What a,
that's a little
it's,
bit
Yeah,
intense.
It's a little bit much. But
that's
because,
intense,
like,
dude.
Like, my thing is, like, I don't know if you guys know who Bobby Lee is.
But, okay.
So, yeah, every time Bobby's in town, we'll work together, right? Yeah. But Bobby is the nicest guy. He'll stay and take pictures with everybody. I mean, he has the craziest fucking stories of stuff that's happened to him. But it's like he genuinely loves his fans, you know? He'll come out and meet them. He'll walk through the crowd with them and just all kind of stuff. But it's just like, those are the people that make you. They, like, you wouldn't be here without them. And so it's like, I've always felt like, even with comedy, you know, if somebody wants to stay and chat for a while, I'm like, that's fine, you know, because without them, we have nothing. So.
I think that's the way to go. And with Bobby, when Dave and I lived in L.A. together, the second time I went is when we were dating and David had never lived there and we went and tried it out together. We actually went and saw a friend of ours, or he got us tickets or something to a comedy show. But long story short, Bobby Lee was in outside with us in line waiting to go in. Yeah. I didn't even put two and two together, and he was like talking to people and going around and shaking hands. And then I realized when we were going out, I was like, "That was Bobby Lee."
Well, yeah,
he was hanging out with us with the audience with the peons. He wasn't even on that night. He was supporting the other stand-ups that night. And I remember, and we see him on Chelsea lately all the time. And
Bobby's crazy.
He's so cool. He just seems super cool. Still super humble himself. You just got talking about 1,000 fans.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
He probably gets.
Yeah, every time he comes back, there's always a bunch of new people, you know, in the crowd that are there to see him. And you know, like, Bobby is insane, though. I mean, like, I've hung out with him probably a total of like 9 times. I think I've seen his dick 9 times, which is just like, I don't get it. I don't get it, Bobby. I don't get it. But, you know, like,
that's impressive for an
so,
yeah, exactly.
So you're a fan?
Yeah, or? Probably a fan of his dick, I guess. I don't know, gross. But, you know, it's like it's so fun. I mean, he's just a good guy, got a good heart, because every time I'm trying to get on stage, he'll like give me a bear hug and won't let me get to the stage. You know what I mean? So I've got to like have a tickle fight with him just to, and then I'm out of breath when I get on stage, which is just stupid. But I mean, good guys like that, it makes you realize that not everybody in the industry is an asshole. You know, he was talking about how him and Vince Vaughn were friends at one point, and then Vince was stealing his drugs, so now they're not friends. And just all kind of
you're
crazy
putting
shit.
People on blast.
I know,
right?
No, right. Nobody's going to listen. Yeah,
nobody listens to
this. Manny, yeah, you can take
and if they do, that's a good thing, because then they're going to be Twitter. This motherfucker's Manny. I'm black and a half. You know what he said this to me? I'm black and a half. Go check this out. I'm pissed about it.
I want to put David on the spot because you're saying that, and then now I want to switch it to stars in the film industry because I want you to say about Mr. Carrie, how he was on set, because I think that's pretty huge that people wouldn't know.
Well, you did mention the incentive. There was a film that was shot last year, and I think that the incentive, I don't know exactly how it works, but I believe the budget on this particular feature was $1 million, and I believe they got maybe $300,000 back. I think it's a 30% incentive, maybe. So it was a feature film called A Bit of Bad Luck that shot here in the Northwest, and Cary Elwes was the star, and he was just the nicest guy ever, which is just so wonderful when you meet somebody who's, you know, got a little bit of stardom. Mm-hmm.
Princess,
you know,
definitely Bride.
Has some, definitely got some fans. And he just, he made everybody feel just right at home. And it was just absolutely wonderful. It's the kind of experience you have when you go, okay, when I, if I ever get a little bigger in this game, that's how I want to act. Mm-hmm. Don't forget those experiences, because it's just great to see people who are just nice, and they don't have that diva personality at all.
Who was that old couple in Cocoon? I think that they were actually a real couple.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so bad with names, but
Jessica,
I know.
Jessica Tandy.
Was it Jessica Tandy?
No, it is Jessica Tandy.
Yeah, Jessica Tandy.
It is Jessica
somebody.
Tandy.
Jack Lemmon.
There was a. No.
Not the other old white guy.
No, it's just another old white guy. So there's a story about them showing up late to a rehearsal that they get, and they were the stars of it, and they were there late. And they walked around, apparently, to every single cast member together and apologized.
Aww.
Because they're like, that's not.
And they made themselves spend another hour late by having to say sorry to everyone.
Like, we just want to get started. Can you all just sit down?
During the course of rehearsal.
They went through and did that.
Well, I didn't think people in Seattle were funny, so I would love to come see your comedy. I've been very suspect of Seattle comedy. I'm like, people in Seattle aren't funny.
It's shitty.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Ask us what shows to come to.
All right.
We'll help. Hey, got some questions. Try to do original one.
Okay, there you go. I like it.
And these are new, so we could, except for one I just love. Okay, okay, Angela. Which superpower would you rather have? Flying or invisibility?
Flying.
Why?
I've always had dreams of flying. I've always wanted to fly, and then if people are pissing me off, I could take a poop on them.
Excellent.
Oh,
really
that was, yeah.
David,
that was
money. David.
For a second, I thought we were going to get through an interview without my wife saying poop.
No.
I did say take a poop, but I meant make a poop.
We come from the dog services business, so one of those things.
Oh,
what, David, which superpower would you rather
Same
have?
Same question.
Flying or invisibility?
R. Kelly.
The ability to pee on people.
I'm going
to
say, I'm going to also go with flying, because there's just things I want to do and places I want to see, and I feel very crunched for time. I'm like, next year I'm 40, and I don't know where my 20s went, literally. I used to work with this guy, and he was 20 years older than me. This is when I was 21, 22. He's like, when you hit 30, bam, you're going to be 40. And when you hit 40, bam, you're going to be 50. And I was like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm 21, I'm feeling fine. And suddenly I looked at my life, I said, shit, I'm 35. And then I swear, I woke up the next day and I was 39. I mean, it just flies. It does go definitely.
Silas didn't say. He didn't say you could fly back in time.
I would fly back in time.
But I do like that. You know, that's like a good point. Flights are expensive. Airlines are expensive. So I didn't even think about that.
You can travel a lot faster.
You know what? Yeah. I'm not trying to boost anybody's ego at this table here, but like, nobody looks like they're like. We all look like we're in our late 20s, early 30s.
Oh,
I mean,
man,
like, no, I'm serious, right? And it feels like maybe it's laughter that keeps you young or something. Because
they
it's
do
like,
say that.
Yeah, you know, so it's like.
But it also got me all the wrinkles. Because I'm too facial.
So definitely
Manny,
flying.
Manny.
Yes.
Flying or invisibility.
Man. The pervert in me says invisibility.
Yeah, that's what I thought he would do. Yeah.
I'm a huge Superman fan. I don't know. I've always admired the ability to fly. It just seems like. The coolest thing, you know, what girl wouldn't you impress by like flying? You're like, hey, let's go up here. And I'd want to stay warm though, because I think it gets cold up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I know that's, you didn't say that was one of the superpowers, but okay, I'd fly low. There you go. Cool. What about you?
Yeah.
You know what? I wish I could say flying, but I think I'd want invisibility because I'd want to find out things.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh.
And I could find out. I'd probably find out things I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But then also, like, I could also even out fields, like, because if I, like, okay, it sounds perverted, but if I see somebody naked, they don't have anything over me anymore.
Yeah.
They're not better than me.
Yeah, knowledge is power.
Oh, I just saw you mop naked. Ooh.
And I'm going to have my friend Manny take a poop on
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay,
that?
Great.
David Angela.
Hannibal Buress had the best joke about that. He said, like, he hates the saying, I wish I was a fly on the wall in that room.
Yeah.
He was like, that's because you want to be annoying and the most, like, interesting thing. He was like, a better statement would be, I wish I was somebody that those people trusted.
Right.
All right. Angela, favorite curse word?
You make me swear tonight? Have I already?
Do you not have one?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I do. I was just trying to be clean because I still, did you hear I have us? So many young fans.
Okay, what about this? Well, just say, you can say the letters.
No, no okay, I, well, okay. What I say, no, okay, every all my young students, please tune out at this point. I say this all the time. Fuck me. All the time. And it is not an offer. So I don't want people to take that as me offering. It's just a exclamation.
You mean an invitation.
An invitation. Right. Or offer. Invitation or an offer.
That's classy.
San Diego.
Everybody ask me?
Favorite
I it's probably, I try to think about what do I say when I stub my toe? You know, I think it's whatever that is.
I know.
You know what it is? I'm not sure if I know
your favorite word is one that you, when you get pain, you say?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of emphasis just comes behind out. It, right? It's just like...
Well, you said favorite curse word, right? Yeah. Well, favorite meaning one that I like to say a lot. Well, come back to me. Come back to me.
Oh,
okay. Mine, it's, gosh, it's between fuck and motherfucker. I don't know why those are just like...
I know.
Yeah, something about that word is just like, if I'm on stage and I'm just like, that motherfucker just, you know, it just has that emphasis, you know, that emphasis right behind it. I don't know. What about you?
Oh, I definitely love motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't use it much.
Well, actually,
I save it. It's like
Sam Jackson,
it's like
I think,
a lasagna.
Like, just, oh,
you
know? Motherfucker. You know,
oh, yeah.
Like, so great. Yeah, well, okay.
But I say douchebag a lot.
Douchebag.
I don't think it's a curse word. Yeah, I say that a lot.
Well, that's...
It's a great description of people.
Yeah. But, it, like, you know what? It's like my buddy Kyle has a joke about it where he says, douchebag should only be used as an endearing term because he says it's the greatest thing to ever happen to the greatest thing to ever happen, right? So it's disgusting, but it's true. So
has anybody seen a douchebag lately? I really don't.
I don't think anybody. Do they even sell them?
I haven't really heard about douchebags since like Richard Pryor.
Right? Yeah,
that's
exactly.
When they were really in.
I have Fox News.
thank you.
All right, what's
I'm gonna. I think it must be the MF one.
There
I think
go.
Motherfucker must be probably the one
that's
for me too.
Yeah, I'm thinking on the same page.
Angel, if you could master one thing you haven't yet, what would it be?
Oh, speaking Italian.
David.
Definitely have to go with some kind of instrument. It's either piano or guitar. And you know, I think I'm going to go with piano.
Ooh, I was I wanted to say the same thing, but I'm going to go say
it's your fantasy.
My fantasy. One thing that you want to master.
And you're like, oh, I don't.
Baiting. No, that's gross. Thing. That's gross. Yeah. Maybe being a Jedi or something. No, I don't know. Star Wars. Piano. Yeah. Nice. I really love, you know, like it, either acoustic guitar or piano, but I think piano just has such a, I don't know, beautiful sound.
Do you
to
ever?
It. No. I need
no,
to learn.
Not at all.
No. No. Never. Have you?
No.
Yeah, I need to.
I did growing up, and then I stopped. I wish I didn't.
I'm a quitter. I tried to learn the guitar a few times. I'm like, I can't. I don't.
It's still in the man cave.
Yeah, it's sitting there. You go. Yeah.
It's nice, funny. We buy
nice
stuff,
guitar.
But we never master it. Yeah,
take it out for bed.
It's
I'm
like Manny said, nice. Boys and their toys.
Exactly.
Silas. Master.
Master
Silas.
Master Silas.
Pressure.
If I could be a master, I'm trying. Filmmaker.
Oh.
I love it. I love everything about it. It's the one thing that I could. I love telling the story.
Yeah.
In any means. That's what I've always done in everything. Mm-hmm. Theater and comedy. I like telling stories. And then the filming. I just love. For me, it's enthralling. And I'm not, you know, I can't say I'm a master.
Well, there's a challenge. You should do that. You make a film.
As a theater director, I feel like honestly, it's the one thing that I say I'm really good at. Like, nice. I felt good. I love teaching. I love teaching folks, village. Sometimes I feel so late. Like, I'm late. Like, I teach with such little effort now. Like, I just go. Like, and they're like, oh, do you need to prepare? I'm like, oh, yeah, totally. Oh, the preparation. No, I grab my thing. I know what I'm going to do. Or I walk in and I read the room and I go, like, because most of the time I prepare, I have to change it anyway because it's not going to go out. So I'm like, I usually go in with a couple of things. I'm like, I'm going to work on this, see how it goes, and teach you because I can't go and plan how I'm going to teach you because I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And I won't know for 6 or 8 weeks who you are, and the class will be over by then.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see what's going on. And so whenever I have a sub, it's a problem. I have to go like, well, what are you going to work on today? I'm like, well, we're going to work on this. Or I create they know me. I'm a loved teacher over at Village because the kids love my classes. And
I think that's
back,
where we've also bumped into each other.
Maybe, yeah. But they're like, do you have a lesson plan? Sure, I'll get you one.
Just give me a little bit.
So I gotta make a. That's my best fiction writing, my lesson plan for the semester.
Master Silas Letterhead.
But I want to, yeah, filmmaker. I'd love to do that. I want to leave something.
Remind me to ask you guys a question after this. Just for I promised two of our listeners that I would ask you guys a question.
Okay. What brings you joy?
Besides laughter, what brings my family?
What brings me joy besides my wife? hanging out with dogs, beautiful music, a well-told story, film, comedy, stand-up comedians. It's me just funny. I mean, it's like I really.
Yeah, he doesn't go to any stand-up comedy.
We will get you tickets to whatever you need.
I have been a stand-up junkie. He is. Like watching stand-up for a long, long time, but it's kind of like this.
Do you know
it's almost like a closet thing because it's
you know
like
the parlor
really
is like
got
the
joy
best
for it,
stand-up club in the country.
We will be having another show.
I don't even know where
shortly.
That is.
It's in Bellevue.
Yeah, we need to go.
Which is the reason not to go in itself.
Right.
Yeah. But
I've been once. Once.
Right,
because
I think about Bellevue and I think there's nothing, there can't be anything funny happening over there.
Oh, exactly, right? That's just. Ugh.
You know what? The audiences, I hate them sometimes. They're like, I'm like, oh, I don't want to sit next to you with your Bud Light. And you're like,
or they said, I thought you said with your butt light. With your little butt light, like they biked over.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had the little lights.
I guarantee it's like a 90%. Little dog in the purse ratio over there. Though.
Right,
like,
right.
Everyone's a little yapper. I
Well, we'll definitely have to keep in touch with that.
I want to bring it full circle real quick that when David, our first date,
I knew this was going to come up too.
Second date in the car and he was testing me.
Don't say which song. Just don't say
I'm
going to
say both.
No, no. Don't
okay.
Just talk about
okay. He, I think he was like, let me see if this girl can really handle whatever. And he put in, I want to say cassette tape. What car did you have?
It was
then?
Probably a CD.
And the first one was Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, that is.
And I started cracking up, and I looked over at him, and he was. I could tell he's like, "This is the woman of my dreams."
That's awesome.
And then the next thing he put in was a Tenacious D,
nice.
Which of course mixes with them doing kind of their bits and music. But anyway.
So you're a Dice fan?
Oh, I used to love the Dice Man. I had like the cassette tapes.
Did you get over that, or did you?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's very, you know, I think his act can be very, you know, hateful and misogynistic.
I look back and watch it, and I'm like,
it's cutting edge back then.
I remember cracking up.
Oh, yeah.
Now I watch, I'm like,
how could
this
you?
This is horrible.
Right.
Why,
right.
Why did I?
All the nursery rhymes and all that stuff. But at the time, I think there was a big kind of PC, push to PC movement.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think he was really fighting, and I think that was kind of, that was nice.
You know, that's the thing that I think will always amaze me is when you, before you start your, you know, your passion, either comedy or acting, you'll see somebody, you'll be in awe of their work, and then you go back when you start doing it, and you're like, wow, this isn't as good as I guess I thought it was. But, I don't know, very admirable.
Mm-hmm.
So. What about you?
Me? Gosh, I'm a huge mama's boy. I love my mom. So I'm going to say family and definitely laughter. Those are the two things in life that, hands down. So, and my life partner, Silas.
Aww.
Given.
My daughter laughing. Mm-hmm. It's probably the biggest joy. Anything I can do to make that happen, I just do it. Finish the sentence. Life is.
I don't want to swear. It's just like immediately the East Coast girl in me comes out. It's a bitch. No. Okay, I did it anyway. Life is mysterious.
I'm going to say beautiful.
Damn it.
I was going to say a box of chocolates.
Exactly.
That was no.
Maybe you two should go out after.
Totally go out.
Up and you can both play the piano to each other poorly.
And I'll speak Italian to Silas.
Yeah.
As he films me. There, boom.
Let's see. Life is amazing. Or worth living. There you go.
Life is hard.
Fair enough.
Okay, that's all I have for you.
Okay, my question from our listeners. They have kids who are aspiring actors, and one is probably, let's see, one is 8, the other one is 6.
First off, don't listen to the first part of the show,
yeah.
Kids, where we say the F word a lot.
Yeah, just to delete that out of your brains. But what would be your advice for them, or where should they get started? How do they protect themselves against people who are just, you know, money mongers or, you know, just, or, you know.
Don't get in the film industry.
Yeah, true.
That's
but I mean. I don't know. I guess where would you say to start?
Well, I'm going to plug our company right now, totally. But only because it is exactly that. My mom got taken advantage of being the mother of a, you know, young girl. I was 8 trying to be an actor, and she didn't really know where to go and mm-hmm. who to avoid. So it's the parents, speaking to the parents, educate yourself with the sites that are out there. You know, Mighty Tripod Productions, that's our company on there. We have
mightytripod.com.
Thank you. We have links on there to other pages where it's open forums of people talking about experiences they've had mm-hmm. and with agents, with auditions. Get your kid in class, and they're expensive. There are a lot of really reasonable, some even free community classes. Get your kids signed up in community theater. Make sure it's something they want to do and it's mm-hmm. not something you want them to do.
Right.
And remember that you shouldn't have to pay to play a lot. You're going to get sucked in, especially with young artists, that, oh, you got to pay for this, and you got to pay for this, and you got to pay for this. So knowledge is power. So talk to the community. Talk to Manny. Have Manny talk to us.
Definitely.
Contact us directly, and we'll try to get you in the right direction.
Like their Facebook page.
Right.
Yes.
But I would say, just as a whole, you know, get your kids in classes with other kids. Get them out of their shell. I remember I was really shy. I used to be picked on a lot. And I think what acting did for me is I got to just become somebody else and be a nerd and express myself and be in a safe environment. And other kids were there doing the same. So I think that's important.
Yeah, I would totally agree with all that. I mean, I think that the parents especially have to surround themselves with good people who know more than they do about the industry. And I think that's what Mighty Tripod can do for those folks, and also the groups that I've created on Facebook. These are very interactive groups with a lot of top-notch professionals who have been in the industry for a long time in Seattle, and a lot of parents and a lot of young actors. And I think if you can surround yourself with people who are in the industry now and who have kind of made the mistakes and can now reflect on them and share that information with other people, surround yourself with really bright, wise, informed people, and then also listen to your gut. If you're getting into something and it doesn't seem right, it probably isn't.
Great advice.
All right. So check you out at mightytripod.com, mm-hmm. right? Do you have other websites they could check out?
Davidshogan.com. That's my website.
And he is, oh, just so everyone knows, he is not Hulk's son.
No.
You know, it was great when you were talking about how you were just like a huge Hulk Hogan fan, because one of my friends has an autistic son, and one day he just like rips off his shirt like Hulk Hogan. I was like, that is awesome. And I was like, have you been making him watch WWF? And she's like, no, I think he was watching Magic Mike. I was like, holy
shit. No! Well, and that, I do want to let everyone know, I was doing Pee Wee Herman pre his little incident in the movie theater. So I wasn't going around playing with my little Pee Wee. sorry. And mine is AngelaDeMarco.com.
There you go.
Awesome. I also have a website. I just changed the name of it. I think it's called the SeattleActingBlog.com. And I also have 2 Facebook groups. One is called Seattle Filmmakers and Actors. And the other group is called David S. Hogan's Craft, in quotes, Services. Because it's kind of a pun.
Wait, those craft, like, do you make, like, well, do you, like, it's, crochet it's a
pun.
And stuff?
No, it's a pun.
It's a pun. It's a pun. Like crafty. Like your craft. But the craft service is the one I was really recommending for the parents. If they're on Facebook, that's where there's a lot of open forum and a lot of classes are shared. And also for you guys.
Craft, yeah. I thought your second business, I thought you were doing craft services.
Well, we have like crafty, done that too.
Hey, I rock some casserole.
No,
I have done craft services.
I was like, oh, for movie sets.
I have. Craft. I mean, that's the pun and the play on that's words that David did. That's not why we have that page. But honey, I have cooked before Italian.
I think for parents and kids, the David S. Hogan's Craft Services Facebook group is probably where you want to go, because there are definitely more young people and parents there.
That's awesome.
Where would someone go to look for an audition?
I would say the places to go are TPS Online, Theater Puget Sound, and PerformersCallBoard.com. I think for Performers Call Board, I think you have to ask to join.
I have a Yahoo group email that I've gotten for years.
And is that Performers Call Board?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one's pretty good. I mean, but even like the the scammy come do the last one was a Robert Downey Jr. feature that was supposedly shooting here.
Not.
That was posted on Theater Puget Sound.
Wow.
Here's a question.
There's sometimes some junk gets through the filter.
If he wants to get involved in student films because they're trying to learn how to do it, and I auditioned for one recently, and that was atrocious.
Right.
So they all showed up at, like, at my audition. I was there before everyone else. They hadn't even set up lighting.
Oh, no.
Anyway. But there's a lot of postings. Students will put stuff that they want to do on Craigslist list, I see. Like, and I think a lot, I hear some people who are professionals say, stay away from them. It's just a bunch of scams going on. But I actually believe there's a lot of ignorance because, like, me, myself, who wants to be in a film.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go to look for films.
TPSonline.org. Almost all, there's tons. I would say just yesterday there was 10 short films on there.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And wow. they're going through like crazy. A lot of them are non-unions. A lot of times I'm like, oops.
Most of them are non-union.
I can't, but, then you've got to open them. Some of them are for actors, and then you look deeper, and some of them is, oh, no, we're looking for a grip. We're looking for a... I would go there before Craigslist, just because I bet anyone who's on the Craigslist is going to be also on TPS. And at least what TPS shows you is they know a little bit of who and where to promote what they're trying to do in the community.
Would students at, like, Seattle Film Institute know about it?
TPS, they'll know. Yeah, they hit all the schools up. I'm not going to say they 100% should, but from what I've heard and seen, I know TPS has really made themselves a presence for all the students out there. And I mean, if you haven't...
Would you say avoid any Craigslist listings?
I don't know.
Really look into it.
That's the bottom of the barrel. At least that's where actors who have been kind of scammed or have had the worst experiences have found the posting on Craigslist. But, you know, I mean, I think that it just all depends. And again, these are blogs that we have written. If you're looking at a call board or a casting, there are certain things you want to look for in the breakdown. There are things that there's information that you need to look for that will probably tell you before you even talk to these people whether there's any kind of professionalism or legitimacy or above the board kind of behavior that's going to happen. There are red flags to look out for. And even if you go to an audition, there are red flags that usually you're not going to be able to see them until you have experience. There are auditions that I've gone to where I just go, okay, this is going to be a complete waste of my time, and maybe you just go in and audition, but you know in the back of your head, I would never do this project.
I'm like, I just want a reel right now. That's all I want.
And that's the other thing about reel. I mean, I hear so many actors who are like, I did this project, but I never got reel. And usually on projects where you're working for free, they're offering you copy credit food.
But good luck if you get the copy, Silas.
Good luck if you get the copy. If there's any kind of... And this is where it gets kind of difficult, is because I will encourage my actors, make them sign a contract. You know, make sure they are guaranteeing that you're getting your footage.
I'm going to make my own scenes and shoot them. Get my own.
And it's not a bad idea.
People have done that.
And there are classes for that, some of which we're going to start teaching, where we're actually preparing actors and shooting real footage, REEL.
You also, if you're producing something, you have to be careful posting on there because you do get some interesting people that respond. I put out an ad for something on Craigslist to get talent. And I was looking for a co-host for a podcast.
Yep.
And,
oh, good luck.
And here I am.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, where's he going with this? I was like, mother.